You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Do you ever wonder what a woman really thinks about?
Doctor Who.
Harry Potter.
Lust.
Orphan Black.
Grimm.
Space. The
Fear
Final
the
Frontier.
Walking
Outlander.
Dead.
Star Wars.
Heroes and Heroes Reborn.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent Carter.
Mr. Robot.
Lord of the Rings.
I, Zombie.
Stargate.
Alien.
The Secrets of the Immortal Nicholas.
The Marvel Man. Movie.
Penny Dreadful.
Walking Dead.
X-Men.
Cosmos.
Firefly.
Game of Thrones.
Harry Dresden.
The Return.
The Spiderwick Chronicles.
Teen Wolf.
Sherlock.
Battlestar Galactica.
Sleepy
Hollow.
Star Trek.
Torchwood.
Guardians
of the
Galaxy.
All you have to do is listen. This is Sci-Fi for Chicks.
Welcome to Sci-Fi for Chicks as we continue our Women in Genre series, where we look at female characters in some of our favorite TV shows, movies, books, and more. We continue now with our discussion on the women of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Alex Callahan, and from Level 117, the SciFiForMe.com Marvel podcast, Cammie Settle and Maya Aides. My name is Heather French. Enjoy.
Finally going to get to the actual women of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, you guys had a great time talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. and Marvel in general. The people paid, and that's in quotes, to hear us talk about the women. Paid
in time.
Paid by subscribing to us, right?
Time is money.
Time
is money.
Time.
Time is money, or coffee, in my case. So we actually want to get to some of the characters and talk about them. And, you know, after many rants and deep discussions, I think we need to bring it to a little shiny, happy place. Hashtag shiny, happy place for Alex there. Mm. Ladies, who are some of your favorite female characters on the show? Why don't we start with Cammie? Because actually, the last one, Maya and Alex were really going back and forth. So I'm going to start with Cammie.
Well, thank you. You know, I'll tell you, I loved in the first season, because the first season was kind of rocky. I had several favorites, but I connected with Gemma because she's a scientist, and I liked the fact that she was full of these kind of creative ideas on how to solve these issues, and she was just extremely clever with her science. But as the seasons progressed, or the second season progressed, I really didn't like where they went with her character. And she seemed to flop around quite a bit and just go into these extremes. And for that reason, I've got to say May, Agent May, is my ultimate favorite. I mean, she is just steady. She's strong. She gets the best, like, sarcastic one-liners anybody in this show. And she delivers them with such, like, verbal kung fu. It's just amazing. So she's my number one.
And I have to agree with you on Gemma, because she was actually my favorite character in season one. But in season two, especially after Skye got the powers, and we actually went into the powered people, and it really felt like the writers needed somebody on the inside to talk about, you know, curing, to quote unquote, and, you know, getting rid of and controlling the powered people. And it felt like they kind of rolled the dice, and it came up Gemma. And then, because for the love of me, I couldn't understand why Gemma would have such a strong objection to powered people. So she had a bad experience once or twice, but come on, she was she was such a scientific person in season one.
My thoughts exactly.
That I couldn't understand, and season two kind of took away my love for Gemma, because she was acting, for me, out of character, out of, you know, she wasn't who I was used to, and so I can't really call her my favorite character anymore. But where Gemma lost her appeal in season two, actually for me, Skye gained a lot of appeal, because in season one she was this character who I couldn't even relate to. She was all over the place. Her lovesick puppy looks at Ward gave me, you know, really violent thoughts, and I was very against it because I just couldn't understand why Joss and Jed and Marisa would write a character who was so lovesick and all that. But in season two, all the angst and later the powers and the struggle she went through and the storyline with her father, I was hooked. So basically, my favorite character got changed from season to season. It went from Gemma in season one to Skye. Absolutely adore her now, and I can't wait to see what they have in store for her in season three. Yeah, Skye. My current favorite is Skye, though I really hope Gemma will be back on the horse and being awesome and scientific, or possibly, you know, not dead. I will take that as an improvement.
Yeah, not dead is good.
Not dead is good.
It's a start.
So the minute that this question came out of Heather's mouth, I started thinking about it. I was like, okay, so who is my favorite female character? And it almost changes from episode to episode. And I agree with both of you on every count. But I will also, and I gotta say, I really didn't object to Skye as much in the first season as the boys did. The boys really, really hated her. I did too. And there were times when I didn't like her, but I appreciated some of her journey, I think, more than they did. Integrating into this, her new family, because that's kind of what they became, was her surrogate family. Even though she had her own quest to find her family. Of course, then she finds her family and finds out they're totally nutso. But, you know, that happens to all of us, even when we've known our family all along.
It's true. You can't pick your family.
No. That's why we pick our friends, because they become the family that we would have picked if we could have picked. Gemma, oh, man, in season two, you know, it was like, why? What are they doing to her and why? Because it made no sense. It made no character sense. She was totally going against everything that she had been written as up to that point. Okay, we're going to do a total flip-flop with this girl, and she's just going to become totally not what you've come to know her as. Ugh. And Agent May, she's been one of my favorites all along. But in season two, somebody that is fast become one of my favorites is Bobby. Mm. And Bobby, because we don't know a lot about her yet, but she is a strong, physically strong woman. Emotionally, she can compartmentalize so that she can be emotionally strong when she needs to be. But we've also seen her soft and her dark side and her questioning side. The parts of her where she questions herself, everybody around her, what she stands for. And those are really complex and very human struggles that not just women, but everybody goes through. And so I think they're setting her up to be an amazing character for season three. Gemma, she can't be dead. I mean, just because she got swallowed by a rock,
things happen.
I think she's in for a whole nother character shift, because being part rock, I mean, that's probably going to change how you feel.
Well, Elizabeth Henstridge, right? Just so nobody worries out there, she did sign her contract for season three, so she is going to be back.
But
so
we know that Fitz is going to be looking for her anyway.
She's a rock girl.
She's actually one of my favorites. I want to go back to her for a second. Have you guys talk about how do you like how they've played it from the beginning? Because we, of course, had the other person in Shield that was Fitzsimmons, and then we find out it's Fitz and Simmons, and there's this obvious tension throughout season one of them, and then he gets hurt and relies on her, this mental image of her, to help him get through. And now at the end, which I'm being totally spoiled here, that in the final moments of the show they were talked about possibly going on a date, and then she gets stoned, swallowed there. How do you like that they made that play?
Stone waved?
No, actually, maybe not. I don't like that. Well, but that would be Whedon, wouldn't it? But how do you like that play that we started off with this whole tension of Fitzsimmons?
It's kind of cliched. I mean, most TV shows where there's a male and female, they're going to string along that sexual tension for as long as they can. And some shows do it better than others. some shows cave in and hook up their two main, those, the two characters that we have had the sexual tension between, and it generally ruins it. It's like, well, now you just lost it. I mean, it's gone.
Yeah.
Now what?
Well, and she said, Elizabeth Henstridge actually even said that she thinks that her connection with Fitz might help save her. She says, well, I know Fitz is going to come and get me because he's my boyfriend now.
Yeah. Can I be now? Can I? Because I promised to be nice, and so I have to ask.
Can I stop you?
Be mean.
You can be mean.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Ugh. The reason why Gemma was my favorite in season one was that even though she was this part of Fitzsimmons, this, you know, one entity that was actually two people, was that even though Fitz
yes.
was harboring those feelings for her, she wasn't really into it. She didn't have a crush on that one person who was the closest to her. She was her own person, basically. Unlike Sky in the first season, whose character was heavily influenced by her relationship with Ward and with Coulson, in a way. Simmons managed to establish her character and herself outside of any influence of a male character, which is something that happens a lot in various TV shows. And it annoys me because I'm a person, they are people, I'm a person, I don't need to a man to define me, come on. And Simmons was awesome. And then in season two, when they started to maybe explore it, I had to fight with myself not to look at it as the nice guy syndrome, where the nice, all the nice guy have to do is just wait and wear her down and she will fall in love. I had to force myself not to look at what was happening on screen from that perspective and not to think about How I Met Your Mother and Ted, because if I did, I would lose all enjoyment from the pair of them. I love Fitz, I love Simmons, but I like them separate. I adore them when they are Fitzsimmons as science babies. They are being scientific together, and it's awesome. When this whole fluffy romantic stuff started to happen, I was like, oh God, please. I will be okay if one of them dies, because do not go there. I was ready to give up, basically. So I really hope that, sure, Fitz can help Simmons get better, but please don't go romantic on me. I want Simmons to be season one Simmons, whom I loved and adored, and not this, oh, but Fitz is my boyfriend now.
I have to kind of agree, because I did see season one, and I love Gemma for that. I mean, there was a moment that I told the ladies about earlier that actually was very Sci-Fi for Chicks for me. It was in a December episode in the first season, and Ward says to Gemma, "You throw like a girl." And she's like, "I am a girl." I love that she's this super smart scientist person, but she's still very much a woman. She likes the girly thing. She's in touch with everything. She's multiple things. And I liked that.
Yeah.
And just what I'm seeing from this, from season two,
I liked how uncomfortable she could be at times. So there was an episode where they went into like the big hub, a big SHIELD office. And she had to do some sort of undercover things and be stealthy. And she was so awkward and so clumsy and so not a secret spy girl. And it was hilarious. I mean, it was hilarious at how bad she could be at that. The character, not the actress.
Added to the character. It makes her even more awesome.
Yes. If somebody is perfect at
everything, that's boring.
Yeah.
Everybody has to have their weaknesses, you know.
Yeah, or several like me.
Chocolate.
Cammy, talk more about Gemma's character, because, you know, from that science perspective, because you are our science chick.
I'm the geek of the family.
There you are.
Well, you know, for me, I always appreciate people who know their craft well, whether they're artists or scientists or whatever they do. If they're like really very good at what they do. It's just so much more to appreciate what they can bring to a mix of people. And Gemma, for example, didn't try to be everybody or everything. She was smart, and she was very clever with the way she used her knowledge. And she and Fitz together played off each other's knowledge very well. And I agree with Alex on that one, that they make a dynamic duo in a scientific team. Do I want to see them forming a relationship that's more on the, like on the romantic side? I don't think so. I mean, it was real sweet, but you know, it's a little syrupy, you know? And so for me, I just think that, because I know a lot of women scientists. I know a lot of male scientists too. And it doesn't matter if they're male or female. If they're very good at what they do, you know, that's like the subject matter expert. And I feel like that's where Gemma brings that whole glory to the team, if you will, is that that's her role. So I don't want to see her in a spy role. I don't want to see her kicking butt. You know, maybe she fires a gun occasionally, and maybe the kickback on the gun, you know, hits her in the shoulder. I don't know. But, you know, she can throw like a girl, and it doesn't bother me because that's not what she's there for.
How did you like when they sent her in to infiltrate Hydra, that whole beginning of the season?
I felt like that was really rushed. I don't think that they would have done that to somebody who wasn't trained as a field agent.
Wasn't that the beginning of when they totally changed who she was and what she was doing and like her motivation for things?
Yeah,
and
I guess so.
It was like the beginning of the icky time.
Plus, I really don't like the idea that for a female character to grow, she has to be all things. It was fun to have Gemma be the science girl. And the idea that the only way she can grow is for her to become a spy, become a kick-ass character. It was so ridiculous. Because Skye's journey to becoming a field agent from a hacker that she was in season one made sense.
Yeah.
That Melinda can, and Bobby really, can do undercover while they're being kick-ass. It makes sense. But why does Gemma have to be a kick-ass character and do the field agent stuff? Yeah. It implied that her character in season one wasn't awesome because she had
wasn't enough or something. So, that's not true.
I agree with you, Alex. She was very self-secure in who she was as a scientist and as a person. She didn't need anybody else to validate her as a woman or as a scientist or anything. She was there on her own merit. And now I know there was a reason they picked her to go into this undercover spot because it was a scientific position.
And they couldn't send Fitz for obvious reasons.
Right.
But at the same time, I feel like, sure, if they had, I liked the imaginary semen that Fitz had at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I feel like, okay, so they needed to send Gemma away. I would be probably able to accept her going undercover if they did it slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how different, but if it was different, if she was more uncomfortable, or she was in Hydra, working for Hydra.
She went straight,
They
didn't even take her into training. Even if they took her away and said, hey, we're going to train you to do this assignment, and that was an episode or two, just to some kind of transition besides, oh, by the way, we're sending you to Hydra. Pack your bags.
Yeah, and we never saw her leave or go through anything or be indoctrinated into Hydra.
Right.
None of that. It just started the season with, hey, oh, by the way, Simmons isn't with us now. She's over here working for Hydra. And that was so abrupt. And
I feel that was part of the problem. I think that was part of the problem that we would be okay if we saw the journey.
Yeah, because we as an audience didn't get to go with her. And we'd already been vested in her story and her journey. And then it was like a rug got pulled out from under us, and then we're told to, you know, here, okay, stand up, go, run. It's okay. She's over here. We missed some chapters in her story.
And then you're right, Maya, she came back.
It didn't make sense anymore,
Yeah, she came back completely changed. And,
and
not in a good way. I mean, she just was inconsistent with the character they built for the first season.
And she was hateful. And she was, she had never been a
She was fearful. She was fearful of these Inhumans.
Yeah, but not, but she was, it was, there was an anger there. And I mean, she blamed the Inhumans then for, Max.
Trip's
death. Yeah.
Did that change into being a hateful one start with the fact that, you know, here was Ward, who was somebody that was part of their team that then betrayed all of them and almost killed her. Was that the start of her changing into that more hateful person you've seen, or did that not make sense to you?
But she didn't change into a hateful person. She just was hateful when the script demanded it of her. And then when it turned out to, oh my God, Skye has powers. And Fitz, and she had, Gemma had a problem with Fitz not telling anyone that Skye has powers. And it was like, but I wouldn't be hateful to Skye. It's Skye. I know her. So it's okay to hate some, you know, faceless, nameless Inhuman or some obelisk that killed Trip. But Skye, Skye is okay that she has those terrible powers that I just seconds ago was ranting about and being totally against. It's just, what is going on?
Yeah, I didn't trust her creating those gauntlets for Skye. I expected for those to backfire somehow.
Yeah, because in season two, she gave no reason for us to trust. She, you know,
she would help.
She turned on the spot. She wasn't, it felt like she wasn't a character. She was a plot point.
Yes.
To that point, I think that the real problem that we all have with this is not the Gemma character or the actress, it's been the writing. I mean, let's be honest. It's the way she was, because she was written inconsistently.
So this is like a Jessica Rabbit kind of thing, you know? She's not bad. She's just drawn that way.
Yeah.
Yes, because the character that they had set up for her, and then just whenever it fit the storyline that week, she would be changed. And that's the writers. That's the writers.
Did her science suffer? Because she was so in love with science in season one. Did her, the changes and what the writers were doing,
did
that make her science suffer?
Yeah, I was going to say, we didn't really see a lot of science from her other than she created these gauntlets.
I think.
Is that outside of her character? I mean, is that.
Well, it's outside of the writing patterns that we'd seen before. So, you know, you always saw her and Fitz collaborating on some kind of project. And that was taken away from the audience viewing. Maybe they were doing it behind the scenes, but we just didn't see that. We didn't see them actively working on these things to solve.
The science collaboration was Fitz trying to work through problems and his mind version of Simmons helping him. And that was really the only Fitzsimmons science stuff that we got was his imaginary.
And then Max
Simmons
started to translate
him.
Fitz's you know, problems for others to get, and it was maybe too much for Simmons, and that was the only organic and credible part of Simmons that I actually bought, that she would be uncomfortable with this new Fitz. It was still her best friend, but she no longer shared the same wavelength and language with him. And I, that part I understood, and that part I bought. But with all the inconsistencies of her character everywhere else, it felt like with the romantic stuff that got introduced back at the end of the season, it felt like she was a plot point, and now she was becoming a plot point for a male character, for other characters. She was no longer Simmons. She was just...
And Alex does not like that.
She was turning into a love interest. And oh my God, kill me now.
So a note to the writers, not all women need a love story. I tend to agree. I agree with you. Yeah.
And that doesn't need to be their focus.
That's right.
I don't like the fact, because she was such a good science person, that it always came back to science and logic and reason. And just what I did see at the beginning, it didn't seem like it was there.
But see, this is my problem. It's only with Gemma. Because Bobby had a season-long romance with Hunter. And the way they written it, it was incredible. Because
That was
they
good.
Had a past, and we knew they had a past. And their dynamic from the get-go was amazing and awesome. And I was hooked. And when they hooked up, I was okay with that.
Yeah, although that episode, that scene was the most awkward scene I think we've seen on television.
Yeah, we had some things to say about that, didn't we?
It was comical. It was right up there with the Austin Powers honeymoon scene with the coffee pot and the melons and everything. It was right up there with that.
Okay, well, let's move on because we're talking about the inconsistencies there. Another character that has had inconsistencies, and if nothing else, in her name, is Sky, a.k.a. Daisy Johnson, a.k.a. Quake. Let's talk a little bit more about her and her going from this whole hacker, not evangelist, hacker person
Hacktivist.
That was trying to write
angst
the world.
Teenager
into this.
Is what I called
it. Yeah, exactly.
She was one of the...
Writing the world.
You know, when the first few episodes, I just wanted to thump her. She was one of those bored teenagers. You know, this is boring. This is, I don't see why I have to do this. She was such a whiner that I thought, I can't believe they even wrote this character this strongly and have her on the ship with these trained professionals, you know. Put her in a camp somewhere and train her. But why is she on this plane, you know?
Yeah.
The thing that was weird about her in season one, and I didn't really, I don't know that I thought about it a great deal when we were going through it in season one, but looking back on it, is this is a young woman who had been basically living by her wits. She had been doing sort of underground hacker work and so forth, had been making it on her own. Yes, she was living in a van down by the river, but she was on her own and supporting herself in some manner. And then she joins a team and becomes this inept, like you said, whiny young person who suddenly you're like, how did you manage to dress yourself before this?
Yeah. And then the whole Sky and Ward thing was really bothersome to me. It felt so forced, and the age difference was really troublesome for me to get around, even though that does happen in real life. I didn't see what she brought to that relationship until, of course, we see Ward's true focus in the second season, which was to manipulate her.
Why?
At that time, it just seemed creepy, you know?
Although, I got to say, I'm not really sure what the age difference is. I mean, if nothing else, there was a huge experience difference.
Yeah, it just seemed very forced.
But I'm not really sure how much age difference there is between them because...
But I think it was still... He was her training officer, right?
Yeah. So it's an inappropriate relationship anyway. Yeah, he was her training officer.
He had power over her, and the fact that... Sure. He was Hydra, therefore evil. But from the very beginning, when we didn't know he was Hydra, I was slightly confused that this would be going on and nobody said a word. He is evaluating her skills. And he is the person standing between, technically, in theory, standing between Sky and field operation.
Right.
And nobody minds.
Yeah. Right.
Like, even if you discard the relationship itself and how creepy it came off, technically, how is he supposed to judge her if he can be afraid that he's going to sleep on the couch? Come on.
By the way, the age difference between the two of them is about 9 years. In actuality, I don't know about character age, but the two actors are about 9 years.
That's about how I had them placed. Yeah. But I think Maya hit it on the head. It's the experience difference, not so much as the age difference, in that, you know, she's acting like this whiny teenager, and he's this trained assassin kind of guy, you know? I just didn't get it.
Yeah. Well, and I want to stay on Sky still, but was there a change when Ward and May had their dalliance? Was there a change in that dynamic? Was that maybe put in there also to get away from the Sky Ward thing, or...?
No, that was going on at the same time, and presumably they had been having a relationship all along, or it seemed like it. Probably, maybe.
But was that a writer's thing to get us off Sky Ward, or?
Oh no, I think it was happening before the Sky Ward thing started to progress seriously.
Yeah.
They ended it before Sky and Ward happened, or sort of happened.
It was all very confusing for me, because I understood why May would pick Ward to be her boy toy. Like a casual thing.
Oh, he was just a...
basically, because, come on.
We'll go with that.
I could understand that, you know, aesthetically, why she would go for the guy.
Well, he was really her only choice as far as people on the plane.
But with May, it was blowing off steam, basically.
Yeah.
And she made it
exactly.
Clear. And that part that I actually liked, because she set boundaries.
Yeah.
And nobody crosses boundaries when it comes to May.
Right. I mean, that was believable.
Yeah, definitely.
And just the way that she came out to Coulson and said, hey, by the way, well, you ought to know, Ward and I are sleeping together.
So that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. She was just so nonchalant, like, yeah, by the way, you should know this.
I think he knew.
I think, yeah, he acted like it wasn't a surprise.
Anyway. So since Ward became Mr. Creepy Man, then her SO changed to
And
Agent
she benefited.
May, and her older male figure became Coulson. So.
Right. And that, yeah, so we had Sky needing the mentor, first being Ward and then being Coulson. And then her story really progressed very much to who are Daisy's parents kind of thing. I did see a lot of that stuff. And that became a big thing into who she eventually becomes. How was her transition from this annoying hacker to where she is now? What is it? An Inhuman?
An Inhuman. I actually think that where the season break did a huge disservice to Simmons, it actually gave Skye a huge advantage because the next time we saw her in the season 2 premiere, she was a field operator. She was a field agent. And she was confident in her abilities because Melinda May trained her. Come on.
Yeah, she had matured a great deal. Since
so
the first
that
season.
Was a huge change. And unlike with Simmons, I liked what I saw. And it made sense that after months and months of being trained by May, she would be confident in her abilities. Her entire life might be in shambles, you know, everything else might be a mess, but she knows she can trust the skills that Melinda taught her.
Right.
And I bought her. And from then on, she just grew more and more complex and they added new layers to her. It was a joy. Watch her in season 2, basically. It was a joy to watch her with the struggles and everything and angst, even as she faced Ward because they had him locked up in a basement.
Now, I do have this comment from one of our other chicks who really wanted to join us, but life just kind of happened and she couldn't join us, Ms. Leslie Walker. She had commented that she thought that Kyle MacLachlan brought the best kind of crazy to the show and that, and please pardon me for just totally mashing up her real name and her character's name, that Deacon Lachman is an underutilized actress, and she really wanted to see her do more. And she played Skye's mom, whose name is...
Jia Ying. She did a wonderful job as that character.
Mm, definitely.
How did all that work, giving Skye this different family unit from her S.H.I.E.L.D. family unit and having it be, like she said, this you know, it's kind of crazy. And I know what Deacon can do because I've seen her in a lot of other things, and she really does kind of do that off-kilter kind of thing. How did that enhance or move forward Skye? She's Daisy now.
Yeah, next season they're going to...
Actually, she's Quake by the end of the season.
Right, but they say that now Skye's gone, she's actually going to be called Daisy now because of her haircut and her wardrobe. That's what Chloe Bennett said.
So. I actually liked Skye's mother more than I liked Skye's father. That's because Kyle was amazing and awesome, but he was very obvious.
The character.
He was a very obvious kind of crazy. Like you looked at him and you knew, oh, that guy's bonkers.
Yeah.
Like totally out there.
But according to the Stinky Boys on Level 1117, he comes by honestly with his coming from the comic book character that he's based on. That's kind of where he is. That's who he is. And I didn't realize, because I'm not the comic book girl, that he became that crazy because he was trying to chemically enhance himself in the way that his wife was naturally enhanced.
Well, I've seen obvious crazy already in various TV shows. So it was something that wasn't very new to me. Like, the performance was incredible and the actor just brought it and I was impressed. But if I had to pick favorites, I would actually go with Skye's mother. Because,
her version
she
of crazy
came out of the left field, I think the phrase goes in America, right? It was completely unexpected.
Yes.
She built herself to be this leader, this calm presence, and, you know, peaceful, zen, yada, yada, yada. And then she goes and kills Adama, who, the character was named
who is not really Adama in this show.
Yeah, but I look at Edward James Olmos and I see William Adama. I can't help it.
Yeah, I know.
And she just goes and kills him without provocation because he was playing.
Thought. Yeah.
You know, he was trying to bring peace between basically Inhumans and real S.H.I.E.L.D., so to speak.
Yeah.
But it was completely against her plan. And right there and there, she showed that her plan was actually much more sinister than Skye's father's plans were. Because nobody suspected her of this hidden agenda.
Yeah.
And that's what blew me away. Because I have to agree with Leslie. She was so underutilized.
Although, if we had gotten to know her a lot more, they probably would have had to tip their hand some more at her crazy that was lying beneath. And because we saw only a little bit of her, I didn't see it coming.
I don't think anyone saw it coming.
Yeah, that one was like, I was like, whoa!
You know, I don't know that it was so much crazy as it just was ruthless. She definitely had an agenda that protected the Inhumans over the humans. And it was us or them. There was never any kind of political centering or, you know, cooperation or anything like that in her mind at all. She was not going to be swayed in that way. And she had lived through some things.
Or right
that,
and wrong.
You know, like all the torture that she underwent, you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago. And so she knew then, I think that was probably her changing point, was this is never going to happen again. So she was building her army, you know. Was she crazy? Don't know.
Oh my God, if we could get her in some sort of capacity. Anyway, flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flashbacks.
Anyway, I will take it because she left an impression. Basically, if I had to pick my favorite out of the recurring characters that were in the main character, I would actually pick her. And it would be a close race between her and Reyna because Reyna impressed me as well. Yeah.
I was going to say, I would have a hard time picking between she and
those
Reyna.
Those two, Reyna... neither one of them were typical, you know, kick-ass characters.
Right.
But they were strong and they had agency. And the world better watch out because they want what they want and they will get it.
Yes, very, very driven women.
Exactly.
As far as that affecting Skye, though, kind of back to your question, Heather. You know, Skye, I think, realized that her family were the people who had protected her and had her back. You know, when she kind of went to be with Jia Ying and, you know, met with her father, I know she was trying to get her family back. That's what she's been wanting for a long time. And yet she realized at the end there that her mother couldn't be allowed to do this and there was still work to be done. And so, you know, I think that with Skye, or now it's Daisy. The fact that she took that the name Daisy tells me that she's kind of embraced her family. But I do think that Coulson and May, as kind of, if you will, surrogate parents, have had a huge impact on who she will become.
Yeah.
Something interesting Chloe Bennett did say is the writers actually have a box in the writer's room, and it's pictures of daisies, and half is a picture of Skye. And whenever one of them refers to me as Skye, when they're pitching stories, they have to put a dollar in the box. And she says there's like $200 in the box right now because they're supposed to be calling her Daisy now. So I find that interesting. Chloe really seems to be embracing this. And like you said, she's not just now Daisy Johnson. She's also Quake, who, from what I understand from MCU, does kind of become part of, you know, collaborate with the Avengers. And then there's the Civil War. So we have her now coming out as Quake, and we have a movie called Civil War coming out in May. So it seems like they're just continuing to progress her story in importance.
Did I hear a rumor that she was, I know Mockingbird is scheduled to have her own series, is that right? Or miniseries or something?
Right now, the
I'm not exactly sure.
They picked a pilot, and I don't know if it's going to be picked up to series, but they ordered a pilot. Because at first they wanted Mockingbird and Hunter together in a show, like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I suppose. But the network passed on that. And later on they pitched Mockingbird solo adventures, I suppose. And I think they picked it for pilot, and maybe they will pick it to series But I don't think it's going to be a full series. It's going to be more like Agent Carter.
The Hollywood Reporter on August 20th did say that Adrian Padalecki and Nick Blitt to star in a Marvel pilot for ABC. They don't have any specifics on time, but titled Marvel's Most Wanted. So they do have that on there, but this is pretty recent, just a few weeks ago that information came out.
I thought there was going to be a spin-off series that featured the, are they called Secret Warriors or the...
Yeah, but they haven't done Secret Warriors yet on S.H.I.E.L.D., and they have to introduce it somehow.
Well, but that's, I understood that Quake was, Quake is, you know, that she's leading that faction.
Secret Warriors, if I remember. But...
It says Marvel and ABC have instead picked up a pilot for what's being described as a new take that focuses on the same duo and their continuing adventures, that it's too soon to determine how or if the potential new series would be launched as a backdoor pilot in the upcoming third season of Marvel's first scripted drama, Marvel's Most Wanted hails from the same producers, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like they're still hedging their bets a little bit on exactly,
you know, I would like to see them further that storyline with Bobby and Hunter in S.H.I.E.L.D. a little longer before they try to spin that off.
Yeah.
You know, these characters have such a strong role now in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that I don't want to lose them here, and I'd love to see where that goes before they try to take it in a different direction.
I'm right there with you.
They're doing, they've picked up Agent Carter for the mid-season break, correct?
Yes, and it's coming back.
Yeah, and and there you go. There is a female-led series, mini-series anyway, short.
I don't think we're going to see the spin-off anytime soon.
With Bobby and Hunter.
2016 is if we're lucky.
Well, and maybe that'll help do the timing with all the movies.
Mm.
Well, you know, make it where there aren't those episodes there. So overall, it sounds like you guys are liking where Sky Daisy Quake is kind of heading. Let's go back to our last major female character who was one of the biggest names when they first started this. Ming-Na Wen as Melinda May. Let's talk a little bit about her and how we have some people basically saying that, you know, Melinda May is now like the eighth Avenger because she is just so awesome.
Oh, please. She doesn't need Avengers.
I mean,
she's the first to be reckoned with on her own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't cross her and then walk down a dark alley.
She seems to me, just from what I have seen, to be probably the most consistent and true character to who she was when we first met her. I mean, yes, we've learned more, but she, even when I jump back in and see something, she still seems very much like the Melinda May I met. We just know more about her. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
The only place where I would disagree with that is the end of season two, when she was severely questioning Coulson's alliances and who she had been following and everything based on the real S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know what to call them. That came in and they were saying, you know, you can't trust him because he's got alien blood in him and so forth. And she really had a time of questioning there. And I felt like that was kind of like a Simmons time for her. I mean, in that they took her down an alley that was not Agent May-like.
I don't agree with this one, surprisingly, because we've been agreeing on this entire podcast, but I actually don't agree. To me at least, it felt like the way she talked about it when she showed Coulson where to get out, where to escape, that somebody has to be
it was after that.
Here making decisions. And if she's going to be making decisions, making the real S.H.I.E.L.D., quote unquote, trust her, she has to stay. And she was actually, for me, out of all the main characters, the one person I could believe not to be swayed by alien DNA here, alien DNA there. But she actually analyzed all the information she had from Coulson and all the information that the real S.H.I.E.L.D. gave her. And she, fine, let's call her Dama Gonzalez.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. And she analyzed it and tried to decide what's best for S.H.I.E.L.D. in the big picture. It wasn't the Simmons situation for me, because nothing about May changed. She just made decisions the best way she could in a, very difficult situation. where she couldn't get out of it by kicking.
Yeah, but a lot of her decision making, she really held a strong grudge with Coulson for consulting with her ex-husband. And for her to hold that kind of a grudge didn't make sense.
That's the only part that really kind of bothered me about that, is that, you know, patient-client confidentiality, come on. You know, she knows that better than anybody.
Yes.
So why would she expect to be in on what's happening with that?
Which is why it seemed like, one of those hand of the writer
now,
kind of things.
Just that part for me, though, but... You know, just thinking back on when Coulson was doing all the drawings on the walls. I don't know, but I'm just kind of going back to the character turning on Coulson, so to speak. I don't think that's the case. She is willing to do what it takes to protect the reason they're there. And if Coulson is going off the deep end, she was ready to shoot him. I mean, she had the gun ready.
Yeah.
And so I think that her motivation has always been for you know, the safety of the earth, if you will, to just throw it out there as a overall goal. You know, so she's not completely loyal just to Coulson.
Well, her original, in the very beginning, remember, she was just there to drive the bus. She didn't want to do anything more than that. Mm-hmm. And seeing, just reading up real quick on some of the stuff, it seems that she's definitely there for that, but that's maybe still in the back of her mind. She went off with someone else and is like trying to rebuild her personal life, and maybe they're talking about like this different angst that she feels about the corruption within S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that, and trying to get back. I mean, I do just go back to the fact at the beginning, it was like she was loyal to Coulson, but I'm just here to drive the bus, and very begrudgingly. Okay, fine, I'm the best one.
You think she's taking a break from everybody? Well, she is. Yeah, she's trying to go and patch things up with her ex-husband, or at least get away with him, and maybe this is just a vacation from just all the decisions that she has to make on a daily basis. You know, everybody has to put perspective on their situation before they can come back with fresh eyes. So I expect her to come back, you know, a few episodes in and ready to kick some butt. Or maybe she's going to help Coulson on the end. I think she'll end up helping Coulson.
I suspect she'll be there with the season premiere. I don't think they're going to wait to bring her back a few episodes in because she's too strong a character and her numbers. I think she has such a following personally that they need her from the get-go.
You know who I want to see in season 3 in relation to May? I want to see her mother.
Who? Oh, yes.
Oh, she was wonderful. Fantastic.
Oh, my God. Give me more. I know it's ridiculous to say this as we talk about May and the Yangs and whether or not she will be, but I want to see more of her mother. Because it felt like we got a lot of background on May from the way she interacted with her husband or ex-husband. But I feel like we got even more explanations about her character from her interactions with her mother.
I don't know. She became so much more human when we saw her with her mother. Because you saw the same sort of difficulties of her relating to her mother that all of us have relating to at least somebody in our family. And how when you go back home, a lot of times you immediately go back to feeling like you're a teenager again. And and that's what she was like in the car. It was like she was 13.
Yeah, Mom, come pick me up.
Something wrong and her mother was not impressed. I want more of that woman.
Yeah, she was amazing.
One scene with her in season 3 will make up for a lot of mistakes. I'm willing to allow a lot just to see that woman again. Because I was like, oh my God, rewind. And watch it again. And rewind. And watch it again.
That was a classic scene.
Precious. Instant classic. Yeah.
Something that I really like about having Ming-Na in this role is, I mean, first off, we do have a little bit more diversity here in S.H.I.E.L.D. than in some of the other Marvel things. But we also have someone who is also a more mature actress. Mm-hmm. The other two leads, Elizabeth and Chloe, are both in their 20s. And Ming-Na, my gosh, I hope I look like anywhere, even a third, a half, a quarter, something of her. She's 51, and she is not just holding her own. She is surpassing so many people on the show when it comes to her strength and her ability. And there's nothing... I mean, I don't really see talk about her age, and I'm glad because it's not an issue there. But I love that we do have a lead female.
Except from Tim Harvey.
Okay, except for Tim. But I do love that we have He's a stinky boy. What does he know? That we have an older woman in this main role that's not just like back at the office or sitting there doing something, that she is such a force. Mm-hmm. And it's not a big deal that she's an older woman. She's just Ming-Na. I've loved her for so long. Mm-hmm. But I love what she brings to this character.
No, it was one of the best casting choices they mm-hmm. could have made. I could imagine watching other characters played by different people, and it wouldn't change. I feel it wouldn't change my love or approach to the character too much if somebody else played it. But mm-hmm. Ming-Na Wen,
except Coulson,
nobody
else could play Coulson.
Ming-Na Wen just took May and just ran with it, and she is basically Melinda May, and she is so kick-ass and so amazing that I cannot imagine for the love of me anyone else playing this character. And to hear that it was supposed to be somebody else playing her and the character was called Agent Rice or something, it's ridiculous. I cannot imagine S.H.I.E.L.D. without Melinda May.
Just,
no, it's not happening.
No kidding.
And it's all because of Ming-Na Wen. I love her. Can you tell?
You are not alone.
No, you're not.
What other of our characters? We have a lot of recurring characters in here. Who else do you love? Do you want to bring up and give a little light and shine to? I mean, you've got like Raina, Victoria Hand, Anne Weaver, Karen Palamas. So many others. Are there any others that you want to
I kind of freaked out in a positive way when I heard that Lucy Lawless was supposed to be on S.H.I.E.L.D. I freaked out. Dina was going to be on S.H.I.E.L.D. And they just killed her. That was...
For two episodes.
Yeah. But hey, she came back in flashbacks, so that was nice.
Well, we did get Bobby Moore, so we got Adrian there to be able to bring more
actually,
into that.
Out of all of them, for the recurring characters, I rooted for Raina the most. I feel like she was the most complex. Yeah. And come on, she started as a character who was called the girl in a flower dress.
Yes.
That's all we knew about her. I cannot even begin to imagine the world where the writers could have as well just stayed with a girl in a flower dress. She didn't have to become anything more because at the very beginning in season one, she didn't bring much to the table. But to know that the writer...
Well, no, I would disagree with you. And I mean, the character, the actor and the actress and the character, I think, in season one, I think she probably exceeded their expectations, and that's why that character grew and developed into more. It was because she was this, I'm trying to find the
she
right
She was a
word.
Woman of mystery.
And she was complex and just full of depth. I mean, she would say things and she would, with her body language, she would behave in certain ways and you'd be like, well, there's a lot more to that young lady than meets the eye.
You look at her character on the page, the girl in the flower dress, it could have been a throwaway character, you know, 2 seconds here, 1 minute there. And to think about, you started with the girl in the flower dress and then got Raina, and the just remembering how I and everybody else watched her grow and become this whole person and so complex, because to the very end, almost. You never knew what Raina actually was aiming for, what she wanted to, because you thought she wanted one thing, but it turned out she was aiming for something else. And then she got powers, but they came with a price. And just watching her, I'm pretty sure that I would have watched a web series all about Raina and her, you know, journey. Mm-hmm. Not an entire series, like 22 episodes, that I felt like it would do her a disservice. But I really, really wanted to know more about Raina, especially when it was contrasted with Sky's journey, because they both got powers at the same time. And to see...
Put a dollar in the jar. It's Daisy.
It was Sky in season two. To watch the two women,
at that
the
time,
two women.
She was Sky until she after she got her
to watch
powers.
Them deal so differently with such different powers. It was a joy, and it wouldn't be the same when it came to Sky's Daisy's journey. Fine, let's have it your way. If we didn't have a contrast of Raina struggling with such a monstrous new faith.
Right. Well, and that was the tragedy too, because Raina wanted that so badly, and Sky didn't.
And Sky when it all came out, basically.
I mean, that gave Raina the reason to hate all this and be so angry, was that she didn't get what Sky got.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't get what she thought she wanted. She thought she would get. She got what, you know, she was.
She also didn't get what Trip got, though. So she might, you know, you this might want to be a little more glad for what you got.
Well said. Very true. Well said.
But you're right. They never, we never really knew where she was coming from. She was a survivor. She was going to side with whomever could get her closer to her real goal, ultimately, which was to transform and get these powers. But, you know, of course that backfired. So too bad for her.
There's something about her character that I found kind of confusing, and it really was sort of thrown away. I mean, they didn't explore it at all. But after she got her powers and they're down in that sort of labyrinth, whatever it was in the underground city, she killed several SHIELD scientists that were down there. And we just sort of gloss over that. I mean, their deaths, they were red shirts. I felt bad for them.
Now, you guys did talk a little bit about Bobby throughout the other ones. Is there anything specifically more about Bobby Mockingbird that we missed? Because she is a main character. Adrian did get elevated to an actual main character, not a recurring character, and might be getting her own spinoff thing here. So anything more on her?
I actually didn't like the way they introduced her, and it wasn't because it was a bad plot twist, is that we saw it coming, that first thing, and the second, we were spoiled already that she would be.
Remind me when she was introduced, because I've forgotten.
She was introduced as the security officer. But she wasn't a security officer,
right,
because everybody knew she's Mockingbird, because they let it out and spoiled that part. So it felt like this character who deserved such an intense introduction, because it's an amazing character, and she turned out to be great on the show and a great addition to the show. But the way the pre-production and you know, the need to create a buzz for the new character and the new season kind of, you know, destroyed all the suspense,
which Alex and I saw a lot of in Gotham. That was a big gripe we had in season one of Gotham, was we must create a buzz.
Yeah, the marketing just failed me on that part, because if I didn't know that Adrienne was there as a recurring character, and so she wouldn't die, and she was a positive character, so I didn't buy her as a security officer, the plot twist that was so obviously written into the episode just fell flat.
Right.
And I had a problem with it, because I like when the writers deliver what the characters deserve, basically. And she deserved a grand entrance. Her entire fighting scene in that first episode was great, and people drew great parallels with the way Black Widow fought. So to know that how much bigger it could have been, it makes me feel sad.
I'm sorry.
That's going to lead me to a question to kind of get us to wrapping things up here. We've been talking about some of the things with the writers and the women and letting the female characters down. Is this something that seems to be more towards the female characters, or is this across the board, male, female, that there's just times when the writers just are either trying to get from point A to point J and taking shortcuts we don't like, or not being true to what the characters are? What do you think?
I think it's
across the board.
Yeah, I agree. It's a writer's thing, and you know they're an equal opportunity offender in the plot devices.
Because we've seen it happen with Ward, and we saw the same things happening with Fitz. So, yeah, they're equal opportunity offenders,
which isn't a good thing.
They're not singling out the female characters. Yeah, it is a good thing. Well, not for the audience, but it's a good thing that it's not just that they don't put the time and effort into the female characters. Yeah, they just work hard enough.
Part of it is that they have only so many episodes to get from point A to point B. And so we do see often that they tend to rush along a plot line just to fit it in. And the first season was worse because they had to try to fit things in around the movie release with Winter Soldier, or hurry up and finish before the end of the season now. Yeah, so we've drugged this out for 6 episodes doing nothing. Here's the movie.
Yeah, now we have 2 episodes, and now we have to wrap it all up everything
just in these short pieces. Yeah. And so that was a real problem in that first season.
Which I wonder if that's kind of indicative too of the fact that, you know, some shows like Lost, oh, I got it in, Alex, finally got to a point where they could tell the story, the creators could tell the story at the pace they wanted to tell the story. That was an ABC show as well, but here you've got ABC and Marvel working together, right, and they are thinking about those other times, sure, and those other movies, and we have to work to here and have to do stuff to there, right, and even if they're not relying on that, you still have to, I would assume that the Stinky Boys would agree with this, they have to bow a little bit to this Marvel universe that they're creating.
Yeah, well,
for TV and,
you know,
movie.
Oh, yeah. For me, as a consumer of this type of media, I don't like to be herded into the movie theater just to get a piece of the story I'm watching on television. Mm. Now, if you've done your job with the TV series, I will go watch your movie because I like it. But don't make me go on this weekend. Don't make me go, have to go before I watch the rest of the season. That to me is manipulative and I resist it. So that's probably why I didn't go see Winter Soldier when it was out. Well,
or like Alex even said, if you're binge watching, you have to get to a point and stop. And exactly. Now I have to go watch this movie.
You know, you're manipulating my time and I have precious little of that, to be honest. So, you know, like if I have things to do that weekend, I'm not going to hit the theater.
Okay. Well, speaking of time, well, looking ahead to season 3, what are some predictions? What are you looking forward to, hoping for? Characters maybe that should be focused on more? What do you think for season 3?
I think Simmons is going to give up her vendetta against Inhumans since she's not entirely human herself.
Ooh, what do you think she'll come? Okay. So assuming she comes out of that rock, do you think she'll be changed? I'm not emotionally changed. I mean physically, physiologically changed.
Yeah, duh.
I'm just saying.
You go get swallowed by a rock and let's see what happens to you.
I might be spitting pebbles for a few minutes.
But you go, because I'm not going to do that.
All the characters, I'm actually afraid of what's coming for Simmons the most, just based on past experiences in season 2, because they can either treat it as a reset for a character, which in turn can be a good or a bad thing, depending where they go, or they can just continue this mess of her being a plot point, which will make me very angry and no longer sad because I will demand blood, you know, restitution.
Well, there's the other point that we're neglecting here, and that is that we may have a whole new crop of Inhumans based on that fish oil, the fish oils, the capsules that are being put on the store shelves
at the end of the
season finale.
Wait, so fish oil capsules on for this and flu shots on Fear the Walking Dead? It doesn't pay to be healthy anymore.
Yep. No.
But I don't think we will get many new significant female characters because only Mac and Lincoln got promoted to main characters. So that's additional 2 main characters that are guys. And I don't mind. They're cool enough.
And they're nice looking.
They're not exactly ugly.
Nice eye candy.
I will deal.
No.
But it doesn't, you know, bode well for new additional female characters. Because it's already an ensemble show. There's a lot of characters.
They do talk about some new faces to join the series. So they've got Constance Zimmer, who's going to lead the Advanced Threat Containment Unit.
Mm. And I love her.
She's amazing.
She's an awesome actress.
I watched her on Unreal, and she blew me away. Oh, my God.
Awesome, filthy, dirty show. Yeah she's awesome.
So we have that to look forward to.
Hopefully she's not going to die like Xena did. I'm just, you know, putting it out there.
True.
She is listed as recurring and not guest. Blair Underwood, as Andrew Garner, is listed as a guest, but Constance is listed as recurring.
Okay, so that gives me hope.
That's good news.
Yes, but that's one character. Do we get any more female characters?
That's the one of interest that I see on the blog that I read. You know, they can't introduce.
How about Agent May's mom?
Agent May mom.
Agent mom.
Agent mom. Agent mom.
Agent mom. I like that. That should be her.
I mean,
we can
assume that we'll see a lot of new Inhumans coming out of this too, because you know Coulson and Daisy Daisy. Sorry, I'm confusing myself now. But Coulson and Daisy are going on a hunt to round up some Inhumans. You know, they're going to assemble a new task force or a new army, if you will. So we're going to meet some new Inhumans.
The Secret Warriors, isn't that what it's called?
Probably.
To be called, or something like that.
But right now, I just hope that in all the craziness that is Inhumans and, you know, brand new world, basically, they will still try to do the female characters that we already have justice, mm-hmm. and that they won't be relegated to background or, you know, plot points, or just there to say a line and then disappear.
Right.
That's my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Because after a strong second season, it would be so easy for them to just slip up and just go where I don't want them to go. So I'm torn because I'm both excited about season 3 and what it might bring, but I'm also terrified.
Jeffrey Bell did say, people seem to respond to powered people on the show, and while it's not going to take over and become what the show's about, it's a texture and flavor of the stories. We really enjoy that. The fact that Inhumans are now out there is something I think we need to investigate. And I love this part of that quote. 22 episodes makes for a long season.
Mm.
22 episodes?
That's what he said.
Yeah, that's what their
It's going to be 11 episodes probably. Then Agent Carter, and then
in the winter break.
Winter.
And then maybe summer you can get Bobby.
Maybe
it'll be a summer series.
Yep. Well, it always seems to go by faster than 22 episodes.
It's because you have to sit with the stinky boys. Any final thoughts on the Women of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
It's actually one of the better shows as far as female characters go.
Yeah, I believe so too.
Because they have some problems plot-wise and pacing and all that, especially season one. But as far as female characters, it's actually one of the better ones that I'm currently watching. So yay them.
I'm looking forward to season 3.
Probably
whether
the two of you stuck with 11D7.
Yeah.
Because it's not dumbing down.
Yeah, it gets me out of the house.
Half the characters. She is a shut-in. She's a shut-in. Thank you so much for joining us for Women of Genre, the Women of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., plus so much more about Marvel. I know we're going to come back and probably talk the women of some of the Marvel movies, and we have to do an Agent Carter one, most definitely.
Mm, yeah.
But first we have to get to the return of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Tuesday, September 29th on ABC, and the return of Level 117 shortly after that. So do make sure to tune in and subscribe to Sci-Fi for Me, the various podcasts, so you won't miss Cammy and Maya. And you won't miss me and Alex for iZombie, and Cammy and Maya for Grimm.
We'll make it happen.
For The Walking Dead and more.
Make it so, number one.
That's a different show. That's a totally different Women of Genre.
Okay, next time.
Totally different. We would love to hear your comments, so please let us know. Again, the hotline is 573-427-2434, 573-42-SCI-FI, and follow us on Twitter at Sci-Fi for Chicks. Final thoughts, ladies?
Go season 3.
Not a single thought going through my head.
We have just totally spent Cammy.
You've taken them all.
This podcast. They're all gone. Thank you so much. We'll catch you next time. We'll see you in 2 weeks for the next episode of Sci-Fi for Chicks, Women of Genre.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back, and so is our discussion of each and every episode as we gather down in the super secret underground bunker at World Headquarters. Join us for recaps, analysis, and discussion with a few digressions along the way, and you do have security clearance to listen. Level 117 every week, part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio, only on scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
On our next episode, the ladies talk the women of The Walking Dead.
A lot of the things that come out in the comic book are a little more realistic, but more of a bad portrayal of women.
When she sees, wait, there's something else here that I'm uniquely qualified to help with. I really love where her character is going and really hope that she sticks around.
I don't know. I'd like to think she's strong enough where she would just move on and not do the suicide thing, but let's hope it doesn't come to that.
She's a very strong character in the comic book too, but she's still shown to be a woman who is really needing of a man.
It sounds like Kirkman is living out some sort of male fantasy with what all the women are doing in the comic books, and somebody on the TV show is going, look, we can't shoot it like that. We want a female audience.
That's next time on Sci-Fi for Chicks, Women of Genre.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.